The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thank you for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations, just $25. Today we're going to talk about antibiotics. We talked months ago about prebiotics, probiotics. Now we're going to talk about antibiotics, which I feel like the average person has heard of antibiotics, but what are they used for? More specifically, what they do to your microbiome. So natural antibiotics. Now, reminder, we're not your medical doctor. We don't prescribe to you. So if you have a concern, go to your primary care physician. But there are some ways that you can manage your health, right? Like, our bodies are designed to fight bacteria and viruses. So it's just kind of figuring out what can we do from a more natural standpoint if given the ability. So that is what we're talking about today. If you missed the prebiotic and probiotic episode, you can always circle back. We have a podcast, not only on our website at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. You can go to the podcast app through Android or Apple, but as well, Freedom 95 also has the podcast. So freedom95.us under the podcast tab. Tons of ways that you can circle back for shows if you've missed it. Now, a little bit what we do about at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So we look at whole body wellness. It's oftentimes that we kind of get sucked into this thought process that chiropractic is only about headaches, neck pain, back pain, when, for example, a really, really awesome testimony in the office is a gentleman that goes by the name of Leo. He's allowed us, signed waivers, so we're not breaking HIPAA, to share kind of his story on the changes that he's seen. So it was actually really amazing. Months ago, I saw him for the very first time. And he came in and he said, I have ringing in the ears. I have vertigo, which is dizziness. And I can't really hear that well. They've diagnosed me with Meniere's and they want me to do these shots into the base of my skull. And it's just not an avenue I want to go down without trying all of my other options first. He said, it's relatively aggressive and we're not even sure if it's going to work. So let's try something else. And it was the day after we had recorded another testimony about Meniere's. And all of the great results, I said, hey, I want you to tune into my radio show, right? Like, the first time I've met this gentleman, I want you to tune into my radio show and I want you to listen to this man's testimony. You might think that I'm crazy, which, you know, the average person definitely does. But I want you to be able to hear it because I can tell you about this man's testimony, but I want you to hear the testimony for yourself. And even before that, we had gone through his x-rays and I said, you know, I really do think that this is something we can help with, though it is a process that takes time. Let's see what we can do. And he said, okay, I'm on board. And fast forward several months later, I was in my back office doing some work and he was in getting adjusted and I could kind of hear him. And I was like, so I came out and I said, did I hear that correctly? And he said, I think so. What did you hear? And he said, I no longer need my hearing aids. He's like, yeah, I know. I can hear just fine without them. He said, this has been one of the most miraculous things. And he said, thank you so much for everything that you do. He's like, thank you for, and I said, you know, we really didn't do anything, right? Like, he doesn't have neck pain. His vertigo has subsided. He doesn't need his hearing aids anymore. How amazing is that? I said, remember, we didn't really give you anything. What we do at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is we just remove interference, right? So we did some very special views, x-ray views of upper cervical, looked at ligament instability, any rotation, and all we did was adjust him, right? Like, we removed interference. We took pressure off the nerves that go back out to his ears, and it allowed for function and healing. We didn't give him anything special, though we administered the adjustment, right? We gave him the adjustment. We didn't give him anything extra. All we did is remove the interference, allow for that brain and spinal cord to function closer to that 100% potential. And that's so oftentimes that we diminish what the body has, right? We think we're deficient in something, when in reality, all we have to do is just restore what the body naturally has, and you see this function and healing that comes about. And we just think, how in the world could we ever question the amazement of the human body? Let's not try to give it something like it's lacking or we're made broken. What we really have to address is, what is going on with the body that allows, like, what can we take away? And if there's something structurally from an interference standpoint, that's what chiropractic does, right? And having a doctor that's educated on how exactly to be able to do that. So though there were dozens of doctors that he saw, all gave the option of just drugs and surgery, when he went and down and looked for an option of something more natural, it allowed for him to meet his health goals, right? And that's really what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, right? Most people want to know what it looks like coming in. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Sit down, go through recommendations, sit down and go through, you know, a more in detail history, what you've tried, what you haven't tried, what your symptoms are like, you know, really just kind of dig deeper. And then from there, we can figure out a course of care. If you have insurance, you can bring it in. We can get it checked and verified, but it allows us to see a little bit more of what's going on and how we help. So 317-893-2853, or you can hop on our website, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, and just schedule an appointment. So before we dig down deeper into antibiotics, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's Health in the News, comes from Green Med Info. Skip sweet treats to avoid holiday blues. This is so important. So consuming too many sugar-laden treats during the holiday season has been linked to various metabolic, inflammatory, and biological processes associated with depression. So if you want to experience true holiday cheer, you might want to skip the caramel corn, snowman cookies, and other holiday sweet treats this year. A study that was published in January of 2020 in the journal Medical Hypothesis reminds Christmas revelers of dangers of excessive sugar. I see this a lot. We think, oh, this is just a weight thing, right? Or I'll just take care of it after Christmas. I'll start the diet after here. But in reality, when people have depression, anxiety, and it gets worse through the holidays, it's hard to pinpoint. But yet, I mean, you ate how many cookies at that Christmas cookie shindig that you did? Like dozens? Is that over the course of just a day, multiple days, multiple Christmas parties? So the study suggests that eating sugar can set off metabolic, inflammatory, and neurobiological processes that are ultimately connected to depression. So these sweet treats, coupled with reduced sunlight exposure in the winter and resulting in change in sleep patterns, create a quote-unquote perfect storm that negatively affects mental health. Worse, the symptoms of winter onset depression could lead people to indulge in what else but more sweets? So the researchers analyzed a wide range of studies on the psychological and physiological impacts of sugar consumption. Their research includes the Women's Health Initiative Observational Study, NIH Diet and Health Study, and a study of Spanish graduates, as well as studies of Australian and Chinese soft drink users. Summarizing the existing research on sugar consumption and depression, they concluded that the literature supports that depressogenic, quote-unquote, depressogenic impact of sugar in the diet, finding that inflammation is one reason why eating sugar may lead to depression, and proposing a better understanding of the link to help develop new therapies against depression. They likened consuming high amounts of sugar to excessive alcohol intake, along with consequent physical and mental harm. There's a really interesting study that I'll talk to you about later after this, but they say alcohol is basically pure calories, pure energy, non-nutrient, and super toxic in high doses. Sugar is very similar. We're learning that when it comes to depression, people who optimize their diet should provide all the nutrients the brain needs and mostly avoid these potential toxins. So here's some of the high sugar consumption has been found in studies to have other adverse effects as well. Adverse effects on spatial learning and memory, increased cardiovascular risk, including heart attack and stroke, increased risk for being overweight or obese in young children, a pattern of autoimmunity with sugar intake, including repeated observation of arthritis symptoms after sugar intake, right? Some people are like, oh, my joints are so achy. My joints hurt so bad. Yeah, sugar. A shorter lifespan in fruit flies fed a high sugar diet, which may have implications for human aging. Sugar has particular impact on the brain. So they talked about when you consume excessive sugar, your blood sugar levels increase, which can lead to an insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. This creates inflammation, causing your brain health to weaken. So all in all, when we say, hey, not a big deal that I'm going to eat a bunch of sugar, when your mood affects that, right, it's affecting all different symptoms in the body. So the answer is skip the sweet treats, right? Or do one cookie, or not a handful of cookies, right? Like, that's the problem, is that we don't usually do just one. We do a plethora of them. So the more we can actually get back down to taking care of our bodies will do what we desire them to do, right? And it's health and healing and wholeness. So when we come back, we're going to talk about antibiotics. Why would you take an antibiotic and what it does to your system? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Let's start the new year right. 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light, let's begin.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you could always check out our website, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. Today we're talking about antibiotics. Now, just a reminder, asterisks, right? We don't prescribe antibiotics to you. We don't put you on them. We don't take you off of them. But I will tell you that they're overused. They are massive. And this is not my opinion. They literally looked at a research article for upper respiratory infections, right? Like where you're like top of your chest feels heavy and you get that cough that kind of like claps and it hurts. Majority of those upper respiratory infections are viral. So they say majority, over 80% of antibiotics prescribed for upper respiratory infections are misprescribed. Ear infections as well, right? As a mom, I understand the angst when you see your kid. You never want your kid hurting, right? You want to take care of them forever. And so when they pull on the ears and they have a fever, we race them into the pediatrician office and we say, well, something's going on. And he looks in the ear and he says, it's swollen and it's red and the eardrum's busted and it's definitely an ear infection. Here's an antibiotic. But again, majority of ear infections in kiddos are viral. Now remember, antibiotics are designed to kill bacteria. Antibiotics do not have any effect on viral infections. But oftentimes, here's what happens with that prescription cycle, right? We go into the doctor, we have a fever, we say, here's 5 days of antibiotics. And it's a viral infection. And we say, oh, okay. So you take it for 5 days. And at the end of the 5 days, you say, oh my goodness, I feel better. Those antibiotics must have worked. When in reality, since it was a viral infection, had you have just given that infection 5 days, you would have been at the same place. But now the flip side of it is that not only do you have the antibiotic in your system, now what happens is you've created your immune system to now recognize that and become antibiotic resistant. So it's actually looking at an article. It was really interesting. It was written by Kelly Brogan, Dr. Kelly Brogan, who's an MD. And she talks about how we use a lot of antibiotics for coughs, cuts, urinary tract infections, and many times, quote unquote, just in case. You could be considered reckless or ignorant if you opted to not use them, but you could die of a deadly infection that could kill you, right? Is what they say. What might surprise you, though, is that the real danger could lie in the assault that these antibiotics do to your body. If you don't know, antibiotics means anti-life, right? Anti is anti. Bio is life. Antibiotics. It kills all life form inside of the body. And here's my example of when I would take an antibiotic, because people will ask me often, well, when would you? I had a patient who her husband and her three kids were out in Florida, right? Family vacation. And they were out in the ocean and they were just doing like the stand-up paddle boarding, and he fell and got a cut on his leg. Well, when they got home, they realized that the cut was red and swollen. Well, he had this incredibly high fever. So they went to the doctor and realized that that scratch on his leg from the bacteria that was on the reef or the coral entered into his bloodstream. He had a big red streak that went down to his toe all the way up his body and was about to go septic from this bacterial infection that was like all the way through his blood system. And so at that point, she was like, you know, I'm really worried about his gut and this. And I was like, listen, his gut is our last worries. Like, this is the time that we say, my goodness, thank goodness we have modern medicine. Like, take all the IV antibiotics, right? Like, do all of the things, because if you're dead, it doesn't really matter how great your gut looks, right? Like your microbiome. What matters is that you're alive, because that infection has turned systemic, right? So that's where I'm like, nope, doesn't matter. Like, there are times that you realize, like, okay, yes, you know what? And then once he's out of the hospital and he's alive and well, and that bacteria is under control, then we'll look at restoring his gut microbiome. But that's not a time for doing natural stuff. That's one where you're like, nope, like you have to get in there and do it. But people will think we're crazy when we say, hey, you know what, here, just in case I had ACL surgery. My goodness, I had one in 99 and one in 2009. So like 11 years ago. It was almost 11 years ago to the day, actually. And I remember they said, here, take this antibiotic afterwards. And I said, why? Do I have an infection? And they said, no, well, we just want to take it just in case they don't have an infection. And I'm like, I said, so what I chose to do is I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch. Is it red? Is it swollen? Is it oozing? Do I have a temperature? Right? Like, I want to see if I have the start of an infection. Okay, well, I'm gonna take the antibiotic. But not just in case, right? Because it destroys everything. And that's one of the benefits, right? One of the benefits of antibiotics is that it works well, right? It destroys everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. What we fail to realize is that there are repercussions that come with those antibiotics as well. For example, this is interesting. Most people have heard of Z-Pak, right? Like, it's azithromycin. It's typically given in a 5-day dosage. It's called Z-Pak, right? It's a super popular antibiotic prescribed for bronchitis, ear infections. But most people don't realize that there was a study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine found a 2.5-fold increase of a greater chance of heart-related death within 5 days of starting Z-Pak than with the antibiotic amoxicillin. So people who have previously had heart failure, diabetes, previously had a heart attack, those who have undergone bypass surgery or stents were at an even higher risk of heart-related death. This is not death. It's not like another heart-related incident. This is death from heart. So it appears that this Z-Pak may trigger abnormal heart rhythms, and that's why. But here's the thing. The average medical doctor might not say, hey, here's this Z-Pak. By the way, this is likely going to increase your risk of heart-related death 2.5 times over the next 5 days when you take it, right? And that's another one, too. When you look at antibiotics, and this is when I started looking into this. I had a friend in chiropractic school. So, a younger kid, if you will. Like, he was probably in his, mid-20s is when we went through chiropractic school, through graduate school. And he was, all of a sudden, it was like, I was in the gym working out, and it was this whole big thing, commotion. Well, I was down in the trainer, because it was right after I had my knee surgery. I was down in the trainer's office, and I'm like, yo, what happened? And he said, I was playing basketball, and I just heard this pop, and I collapsed. And it turns out that as he was running, his Achilles tendon ruptured. Like, it just popped out of nowhere. And I'm like, you okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm not really sure what it is. Well, come to find out, he was on antibiotic a week or so earlier that had a black box warning for tendon rupture. And I was like, well, So this is another one too. When you look at Levaquin. So what a black box warning is, most people don't realize this. A black box warning is something that the FDA has put in place as a safety measure. That it tells doctors and patients, you should only use this as a last ditch effort, right? You have tried everything else. For example, they were looking at Levaquin or Cipro for something like leprosy, right? They said, we did everything else and this leprosy is literally going to kill you. So we'll give you this black box warning antibiotic because, you know, your tendon ruptured and you have tremors and neurological problems for the rest of your life. That means nothing if you die from leprosy. But we're giving it as like a first step for a urinary tract infection. I had a patient who went 4 years seizure-free, took Levaquin for just a mild urinary tract infection, went to having seizures twice, grand mal seizures twice a day following that in terms of neurological. And the problem is that for the most part, doctors don't let you know the risks that come along with this, you know, about the risk that happens to nerve damage. They actually looked at fluoroquinolone makers have faced thousands of lawsuits from patients who've claimed that they were injured by these drugs. They had 3,400 lawsuits just in 2016 alone. triggered peripheral neuropathy, right? All of it, but, right? Is there a time and a place? Absolutely. But why are we using them so, so haphazardly, knowing that they cause these problems? Not only that, then we talk about more what it does to the microbiome. So your microbiome is kind of like the inner ecosystem inside of our intestines, right? It drives our epigenetic expression, what actually turns on and off that gene expression. It ranges from nutrient production to metabolic health to hormonal balance to immunity to inflammatory response, right? Like your microbiome, not only hormonal imbalance, but neurotransmitters, right? Majority of your happy, healthy mood regulators in terms of neurotransmitters are actually created in your gut. But the problem is when we keep taking these, we wipe it out, the good and the bad. We take the antibiotics. It takes out the good and the bad bacteria, and it leaves a trail of imbalance that leaves the people who take it vulnerable. So they actually looked at in 2017, they looked at a research study that referenced the increased risk of foodborne infections, including antibiotic-resistant strains. And those who took antibiotic during travel and had repeated antibiotic exposure. Kids, this is an interesting one, kids under the age of 2 years old, if they take an antibiotic, massively increases their risk of asthma, childhood asthma, right? Like all of these things. And then it also produces a massive amount of people dying from antibiotic resistant infections, right? So we give it. We don't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden these bacteria are like, oh my goodness, I am really smart. So they start to morph and they start to change. And then when we give them these antibiotics, again, these bacteria are like, I've been there, I've done it, I've seen it before, it's not a big deal, right? And so I was trying to look up some statistics on this. And so the CDC actually released information about antibiotic-resistant threats in the United States, indicating that antibiotic-resistant bacteria and fungi cause more than 2.8 million infections every single year in the United States and attribute for 3,500 deaths in the United States each year. That is literally almost 800 deaths a week are attributed to antibiotic-resistant bacteria. I thought that was immense. It's way more than, because I knew it was problematic, but I never, you know. And then you look at, we hear often about like MRSA, which is methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus. It's also known as MRSA, MRSA, causes tons of death because they say, hey, there's literally nothing we can do. And this is what really got me started looking. My husband has had MRSA multiple times. Thank you, United States Marine Corps. To the point where, I mean, he had an open sore in his leg that was probably 2 inches by 2 inches on his calf. Like, it was, I'm like, that is wicked. And they're like, you know, everyone in the hospital said, we don't know what to do. So this is where I really started looking at, are there alternatives to helping with bacterial infections? And so that is one that we have had great success with, and I will share what some of those things are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Back, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, or you can always check out our website at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation. just $25. Today we're talking about antibiotics. I think as an adult, the one thing that we really need to talk about first and foremost is that there's a time and a place for medication. We are not, right? People ask me all the time, are you pro or anti? And the answer is I'm pro time and a place. That's what I'm for. Because I do believe 100% that there is a time and a place for medicine. Though that being said, I do feel strongly about a couple things. One is that people need to be fully divulgent. Doctors need to be fully divulgent on a risk-benefit ratio. And I don't know that happens as often as it should, unfortunately, right? Like, if there is a risk that comes with this, hi, here's a Z-Pak. It might be more effective in making your bacterial infection last 5 days instead of 10. But by the way, your risk of having death due to a heart-related issue goes up 2.5-fold. I would probably take the amoxicillin over the Z-Pak, right? Like, so this is where we have to really truly educate ourselves about the whole spectrum of risk, right? And so there is definitely a time and a place, but when we go in and just say, hey, and this is where too, I've talked to a lot of pediatricians who feel like they get backed into a corner. They have a mom who comes in and says, hi, I'm not leaving. Like, they come in and say, oh my goodness, my child's sick. And they desire a prescription, right? Because we think a prescription is what's going to fix it. Time, of course, cannot fix it. Our bodies are not strong enough to fix it. And so when the doctor says, you know what, I think this is a viral infection, go home, relax, make them comfortable, and let the virus play its course, they say, I'm just going to go to someone else. And they go to another doctor. And they say, hey, give me this prescription. When the doctor gives them a prescription, I'm going to stay with them. So they feel like they're backed into this corner, that they're pushed into prescribing because of the fact that they just say, well, I'll go elsewhere. When in reality, most of those doctors are doing you a service. They're not doing you a disservice by not prescribing it to you. They're doing a service by telling you to go home and let it play its course. You know, I think that's just truly one that the more we can educate ourselves about it, then we can, you know, here's an example. My little guy, this was probably last year. He had complained a couple times about his teeth and he was getting his 2-year molars in. So I hadn't thought much about it. Well, he had just gone through like a little bout of a virus. So he had a fever, a bit lethargic, right? Gave him a lot of fluid, made him comfortable. A couple days later, I had noticed he had some like white crust dried out of his ears. And I was like, you probably had an ear infection, like that's ruptured. So the one thing that we know is that if something is ruptured, you don't put anything in it. So there's tons of really great natural antivirals, antibiotics that we could put and give him. But I'm not gonna put anything in his ear if it's still perforated. So of course, being my child, won't let his mom look in there. So I brought him in and I was like, hey, look at his ears. Then he looked in his ears and he said, yep, it looked like he has a double ear infection. Now, mind you, at this point, he is 4 days fever free. And so he started writing me a prescription. And I said, hey, if he doesn't have a fever anymore, right, like he's on the other side of this, why would we take an antibiotic? And he said, you're not going to take this, are you? And I said, probably not. Right? If he was in an active infection and we looked and we said, yes, this ear infection looks like it's bacterial, right? Like, I don't want him to have hearing problems. But he had a little tear and his body got through it. And now he has selective hearing. But I don't know that that's from the ear infection. It's because he's almost 4. So, but it's just one that, you know, I ask those questions. Like, if he no longer has an active infection, what would an antibiotic do other than mess up his gut? And this is my kid that I've worked so hard and struggled with his eczema. So the last thing I want to do is further destroy any microbiome we've taken so long to build up, right? So what are some alternatives, right? And here's what I'll start with. One of my biggest go-tos is garlic. And I know this sounds crazy, but tried and true, this has across the board been amazing. So you always remember Hippocrates, let food be thy medicine, right? He's the father of modern medicine. And he is still alive, would rank garlic as one of the most medicinal foods, because there has been numerous studies that have shown the antimicrobial effects of garlic. Antimicrobial meaning like antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, including a report that researchers tested garlic water against 133 multi-drug resistant species, right? And they showed remarkable antimicrobial properties. There's another randomized controlled clinical trial that showed that garlic was more effective than a standard antibiotic for bacterial vaginosis. Authors remarked that garlic provided both increased therapeutic effectiveness as well as decrease in side effects. So garlic is an effective treatment for stomach infections caused by H. pylori or C. diff, as well as pneumonia and other lung infections. And amazingly, not only consuming garlic protects you against bacterial infection, it also lowers blood pressure as well, stabilizes blood sugar, and decreases cancer risk. Amazing, right? So how I take it. Now, this is not, right? We can cook, and believe me, my grandma was 100% don't touch my pasta sauce Italian, right? Like, hardcore. So we integrate quite a bit of garlic in. Though that being said, oftentimes the cooking process or the storing process, right? Like if you get the minced garlic that's in one of the glass containers, they'll often take it, dehydrate it, and then they'll like reinfuse it with oil and water. So I highly recommend raw garlic. What I do is I just take a clove, I dice it up very small, and then I pop it down with some water. Like I pop it like a capsule, like a vitamin D capsule, right? You have to cut it up a little bit smaller because they're a bit odd shaped. There's like hooks on them, so they get stuck on their way down. I typically start with one clove a day if it's like a more mild infection. If it's a bigger infection, I had a postpartum infection with my second. I had 104 fever with an 18-month-old and a newborn. And I'm like, I know if I take this antibiotic, we're going to pass around thrush. It's going to be a problem. And so I did two a day. And with doing natural interventions, I was able to get rid of it in about 5 days. But 104 fever as an adult is no joke, man. I'll tell you what. So dice it up, and there's tons of health benefits that come with it. So anytime I get like heavy chested, I get kind of like, you know, mucusy. I feel like I'm getting a head cold, just feel under the weather. There's so many health benefits. You just pop it right down. I would say the biggest side effect that you will see, negative side effect of this raw garlic, is stinky farts. So you and your loved ones have been warned. Another one. These are ones that if you would have told me this, you know, a decade and a half ago before I did this, I would be like, you're out of your mind. But the fact that we have used them personally and my loved ones around, I have recommended this to patients we've talked about it with, right? Like, and they've done these and they've seen amazing results. It truly is. My girlfriend, garlic, right back to garlic, thought she was dying. Terrible, terrible respiratory infection. Went through all the testing. You know, it wasn't the big virus everyone was talking about. But she had this cough that lingered for over a month. And I was like, have you been taking raw garlic? She was like, I was like, listen, you're not going to want to do it. Just suck it up and do it. And she's a friend of mine, like a good friend. So I can talk to her more aggressively than I can others. And she messaged me and she was like, this is miraculous. And I was like, I'm glad you did it. But just some raw garlic. Now the other one, Manuka honey. Now raw Manuka honey is important that it's Manuka, right? It's not the like bees from Michigan or raw or, right? Those are all great things. Specifically, though, this honey comes from bees in New Zealand who pollinate the Manuka bush, and it has been used for thousands of years in various amount of culture to promote wellness. There are UMFs that you can get. So the higher the UMF, the more concentrated that it is, the more therapeutic benefits you'll see. So you're going to say, why is this honey so expensive? All right. So we have this little itty bitty jar. It's probably a couple ounces of UMF 20 plus. So the higher the UMF, the more potent it is. And it was so expensive. So I literally have on there, do not bake or cook with, like, because it's, you know, that little scoop is so expensive. But when you're using it from a therapeutic standpoint, it's really not that bad. When you're using it like you're going to sweeten your tea, you're going to go through it in two things. And that's a very, very expensive tea. So, but this is, I stumbled upon this when I was looking for ideas when my husband had MRSA. Right? Because with MRSA, they basically say, hey, this is resistant to all of this methicillin. So basically, antibiotics are pointless. They're 100% pointless. And so I started looking into Manuka honey. And it has been known for a very, very potent antimicrobial. So again, antibacterial, antifungal. So Manuka honey can help with, again, C. diff, strep throat. So this is one that I do put a little bit in my honey or take like bites of if I have like a really sore throat. Urinary tract infections, MRSA. They've actually been talking about how they've been using Manuka honey in burn units because they can actually take the gauze with the Manuka honey and it lessens the likelihood of infection, though also allowing the wound to breathe and heal faster than they would some sort of like petroleum-based ointment. So again, if like the kids have something, we'll put it on there. There are over 300 therapeutic compounds that fight cancer in this, like, again, a bonus of eating honey is when there's a mixture of bee saliva and wax known as like bee glue. That's what actually contains these therapeutic compounds that help fight bacteria, cancer. It is like this magical thing that you would think of. And in our mind, we think, oh my goodness, it could never be that potent because it's not an antibiotic, when in reality it is. Colloidal silver is another one. Colloidal silver has been used for over 2,000 years to resolve bacterial infections. So silver is commonly used in IV catheters, dental fillings, wound dressings, bone implants because of its antibacterial effect. Again, another one that we looked at, we used topically in terms of treating my husband's MRSA, but you can do it orally as well. So we've got like a spray bottle in the office. So if my kids tug on their ears, I'll put it in their ears, right? If we've got a topical wound, we'll spray it on top of the wound. So all things that we look at. So colloidal silver, garlic, Manuka honey. But then too, if you're on those antibiotics, a probiotic is incredibly important to restoring the beneficial bacteria. And having that present in your gut, helping restore that gut microbiome, is going to make it so that these infections, one, don't start. If they do, they last for a lesser amount of time. So know this, that your body has the ability to kill bacteria. We were meant to be like that. But that being said, sometimes we need a little bit more additional help. So that's where we can look at natural before we may need to go to the heavier antibiotics. So if you want more information, plug into our office. We love to give more natural information on health, healing, wellness. It's what we do. Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always schedule an appointment online at our website, which is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. So I look forward to next week to continue to go over information, your body's ability to function and heal, how to give it back exactly what it's always had and remove interference in case it's not functioning to its 100% potential. It's always what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Look forward to next week. Always remember that your power is on.